Matthew chapter 6, would you turn with me there if you haven't already found it, as our brother Patrick has shared with it a little earlier in the service. On the theme from last week, as I promised you, instead of preaching till 1 o'clock, I would kind of pick it up this morning. Last week we started on this subject of worry, and I believe that it's something that every one of us deal with day to day, week to week. And you know, when we have a full day without it, we kind of figure ourselves blessed. But I want you to know this, that worry is anxiousness about a future that is not here and is not ours. Amen? Kathy shared a quote with me from an author by the name of Melissa Spolstra. She said, "Worry is just complaining in advance." That's true, isn't it? We hadn't even got the problem and we're already complaining about it. When we say, and God's word tells us, and we read the scripture from Matthew 25, it says, "Do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry." Three times he said that. Well, listen, I'm going to remind you last week, I want to recap real quickly, that worry does not mean that you do not plan. Amen? That doesn't mean just throw caution to the wind and do whatever you want. It doesn't mean you don't plan. It doesn't mean that you don't be concerned about things that you should be concerned with. There are plenty of things for us to be concerned about. So what's the difference? Worry is about a future that you can't do anything about. And concern is about actually taking care of the need for today. There's a difference. Three times in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "Do not worry, do not worry, do not worry." There are two sections there that I want to share with you from. The first one we covered last week. We covered that first section that was read earlier today. And just to remind you that Jesus told us that worrying is a fruitless endeavor. Just kind of recap with me if you've got your Bible open. Verse 25 says that God isn't going to create a beloved child and then not care for them. Amen? Verse 26 through 30 says, "He cares for the birds and he cares for the grass. He's going to care for you." Verse 27 reminds us that worry will not add one good thing to your life. It'll add many things to your life, but not one good thing. Verse 31 through 32 tells us that worry betrays our spiritual heritage. Because when we say that we trust God for our salvation and then we worry, we're not trusting Him for our today. In the second section, verses 33 through 34, he tells us then, after telling us, "Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry," he tells us how to have victory over worry. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? We're going to read verses 33 and 34 as our Lord Christ Jesus shares with us two secrets, two not-so-secrets on how not to worry and how to win over worry. Verse 33. Jesus said, after saying, "Don't worry about all these things that you need. The Lord knows that you need them." He says in verse 33, he says, "But instead, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Amen? And then in verse 34, he says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And all God's people truly need to understand this. So I'm going to say it again. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, every day's got enough junk of its own. And all God's people said, amen. Pray with me, won't you? Father, we are so grateful for your word. Oh, God, we get so distracted by the world, we forget you've given us the answers. God, help us today to hear what you've shared with us. Two things, Lord, that will keep worry from our lives. Help us, Lord, to internalize them, and then, Father, to externalize them as we walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? We turn here to the Word of God, and it told us there in verse 33, first of all, it says to win over worry, we need to focus on God's kingdom. Do you remember what it said? "But seek ye first the kingdom of God," and there's two things. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness," and all the things that we need, the worldly, earthly things that He knows we need, will be added to us. So seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you, as I shared with you last week, that worry, or should I say much of worry that destroys people, is from a divided mind. Because that root word of worry that we use in the New Testament, it comes from the Greek there, is a word that means a divided heart, a divided mind. It comes, literally that word worry comes from that divided mind and heart word. And I'm going to tell you this, that a divided heart cannot decide what it believes. A divided heart says, oh, do I live for God or do I live for me? Do I trust God's word or do I trust my own thoughts? Do I lean on my own understanding or do I lean on God's understanding? A worried heart, a divided heart does not know where to lean. Therefore, it cannot decide how it's going to live. If a mind is worried, it can't decide, am I going to live for God or am I going to live for me? Jesus said, you take care of that by focusing in on one thing in your life. And that's the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Why did Jesus tell us that? Why did he feel it necessary to tell us that we needed to first seek the kingdom of God? Because he knew. He knew that a person without conviction, he knew that a person without the priorities of his kingdom will bounce between God and the world, and they will never have one ounce of peace in either one. They won't have peace with God because they're still seeking the world, and they won't have peace in the world because they should be seeking God. That's why the scripture told us, and Joshua came before his people and he challenged them. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you serve God or will you serve yourselves? I believe, and I believe I'm right, that many Christians worry because they have violated that principle of choosing God. They have violated that principle of seeking first the kingdom of God. They have violated that principle and that priority of seeking God first. And so because they have, now they're worried about the consequences. Amen? I'm going to tell you there were times as a child that I did something that was not appropriate. And mom told me, you wait till your father gets home. And so I had something to worry about when father came home. I had something when he pulled up in the driveway. It was not a joyous occasion. And then there were other days when things went great and things went right. I couldn't wait for him to get home every other day. Are you with me? You know, on those days when you have something wrong, when you have something that really hasn't been going right, that you haven't been obedient, you worry about daddy coming home. And I think that that's the way a lot of Christians are. They do what they know they shouldn't be doing. They don't do what they know they should be doing, and they're worried about Daddy, Abba, Father, and his return. I wonder, why do we choose what we choose? There are a lot of people that are worried about the consequences. I wonder, is that you? Is that you? And if it is, I'm going to tell you this. You will never have true peace until you fully surrender to God. You will always have a disturbed heart and mind until you surrender your sin life and quit living a dual life on this earth. Here's the problem. Many people have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they claim Him as Savior. But the problem is they're claiming kingdom status with Him as Savior, but they are not living for Him on this earth as their Lord. You see, God wants you to enjoy the gift of life that He's given you. God wants you to enjoy it. Do you realize that? He says, I have given you life, and I have given it to you abundantly. He says, I came that you might have abundant life. And not just have a little, but have it to the full. That's the words of Christ Jesus. He wants you to have an abundant life. But worry will rob you of the strength and ability to do that. Making God your priority will prepare you to deal with anything and everything that might cause you to worry. Now, I want us to look next at verse 34. If you have your Bible open, look at it there with me. Verse 34 takes us to the next step. This step is the one that I told you we were going to spend some time on this week. This step is the one that will change your day every day for the better. Therefore, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about this. Who can worry and add 1 ounce to their strength? Who can worry and add 1 hour to their life? Who can worry and add height to their being? He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things, for sufficient for the day is its own trouble. To win over worry, are you ready? Here it is. To win over worry, you need to focus on today. Verse 34, Jesus Christ said, we need to focus on today. Here's the thing. What he's saying is nobody ever sank under the burdens of today. But adding the burden of yesterday and adding the burden of tomorrow onto the day will capsize your life. It'll turn you over. It'll drown you. Why? Because worry does not rob tomorrow of its sorrow. Worry robs today of its strength. Any time that we spend that time worried or about the past or the future, we mess up what God wants to do in today. Jesus is trying to teach us here that we need to live in a, if you will, a day-tight compartment so that each day is what we face. Not that we enter the day facing everything that happened in the past and everything that might happen in the future. He wants us to have a day-tight compartment so that we can face today. Not yesterday and not tomorrow. Not that we don't have plans and not that we don't have concerns. Please hear me. I'm not saying that we don't plan and that we don't have concerns. God's Word tells us a lot about those things. But what he's saying is, would you quit worrying about it because you can't change anything with your worry. A number of years ago, there is a famous doctor in Chicago by the name of Dr. Osler. He wrote an article that I thought was really, really good. And I share part of that and the thoughts behind it to you. He said in this article that ocean liners are built in such a way that they have compartments and that in each of those compartments, with the push of a button, that doors can come down and seal tight those compartments. Now, why do they have those things? In case for any reason, the hull of that ocean liner gets pierced at any place, front, middle, back, low, mid, even high, that if any time there is a piercing of the hull, they can push a button and that compartment will close. And even though that one compartment will flood, the boat will still stay upright and they can make it to any shore they need to for repairs. Does that make sense? We know about that. We know that that's one of the things that they build into ocean liners. What he tried to convey was this, that we as humans need to do the same thing. In the journey of life, it's critical to learn how to lower the door of certain compartments of worries about tomorrow and worries about the past that would flood our life and destroy our today. That's exactly what Jesus Christ said 2,000 years ago. Don't worry about tomorrow. As Jesus taught, we must learn how to live in the compartment, if you will, of today. Do not worry about tomorrow's. Do not worry about your future. Jesus said right there in verse 34, tomorrow will take care of itself. There's enough trouble for tomorrow. You worry about today. I love what Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 25 says. It says this. It says, as your days, so shall your strength be. Now, what does that mean? It means that you're going to have strength from God as your day requires. Strength for the day. God tells us he is going to provide for us strength for today. He says, I will take care of your today. Do you remember the Lord's Prayer? How many of you probably, you know, you could probably recite the Lord's Prayer without even thinking about it. But it says, give us this day our weekly bread. Give us this day a month's worth of bread. What does it say? Give us this day our... Who prayed that prayer and taught us to pray that prayer? Jesus Christ. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Folks, we don't ask for the month ahead or the year ahead. We ask God to provide for the day. He tells us to take care of today, and we've got to trust Him with that. God will give us strength and grace for today, but for today, not tomorrow. God told us that He would give us grace for today, but don't ask Him for tomorrow's grace, because worrying about tomorrow's grace and the needs for tomorrow's grace is going to be for tomorrow. Quit worrying about the next day. You ask for today's. If you ask for tomorrow's, you're not going to get it, because it's not what God provides. He provides for this day. We need to learn to lower those doors on tomorrow's worries. Amen? Can you hold on to that? Okay, let me just put it this way. Trying to be happy or satisfied today while worrying about tomorrow is a whole lot like trying to fill a bucket with a huge hole in it. It's like trying to stay afloat in a boat with a huge hole in it. Folks, we cannot be satisfied and happy today if we're worried about constantly about tomorrow. Worry does not, let me say this again, worry does not, let me say this again, worry does not, may I say this again? Are you with me? Did I get your attention? Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It just empties today of its strength. Mark Twain said this. He said, I'm an old man and I've known a great many troubles, but most of them never happened. Did you get that? Folks, just as we must seal off tomorrow, we have to learn to seal off our yesterdays as well. I think a lot of people are not even so much worried about tomorrow as much as they are worried about what happened yesterday. Those yesterdays are already in the history books. You can't change them. You cannot undo them. You cannot pray them to have not happened. But what you can do is come to grips with them, because they are already in the history books and they cannot be changed. Sometimes you worry about yesterday's sin. You know, sometimes we have difficulty putting away those memories, don't we, of things that we did that we are just not proud of. What a blessing it is. Oh, folks, listen. What a blessing it is to be reminded that, first of all of us are sinners, amen, and we all have a sin past. What a blessing it is that God, as Psalms 103 says, has put our sin away from us. When we give it to Him, He has put our sin away from us as far as the east is from the west. I think that's what we need to do. We confess our sin. God forgives us. And we need to say, God, thank You for putting my sin as far as the east is from the west. And that ought to be a natural thing to say, thank You. He takes our sin away. And sometimes people agree that God has forgiven them, but they can't or won't forgive themselves. Have you ever been there? You live so much in the past that you worry, and God forgives, but they won't forgive themselves. I've got a question for you. If that's you and you're having trouble accepting God's forgiveness, do you have a higher standard than God? God said, if you will confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. In both cases, whether you're hanging on to past sin or you won't forgive yourself, we need to allow God to help us to seal us off from the past. We confess, we repent, and we turn back to the Lord, And the scripture says that he forgives us when we do that. God does not want, if I could repeat this back to you again, God does not want guilt and shame of our past to destroy our today. He does not want the guilt and shame of our past to leak into our compartment of today. Sometimes we worry about yesterday's sin. Secondly, sometimes we live too long in yesterday's successes. Sometimes those people who come to Jesus Christ, they've had some worldly success. And they have a hard time switching their priorities from the world and the focus of the world and the business to actually focusing on the kingdom of God. You know, somebody who knew how to take care of that was the Apostle Paul. He was a young Jewish leader that had all kinds of promise. He was a scholar. He was an up-and-coming somebody in the Pharisaical system. He was on the fast track to be one of the greatest and most popular and most well-known when he came to know Jesus Christ. And when he did come to know Jesus Christ, he closed the door on his past successes. And he wrote this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind so that he could press onward and forward to the goal of Christ. Folks, we've got to learn to do the same. There are times that our successes haunt us as much as our troubles. Third one, the last one is, we've got to learn to give up yesterday's sorrows. And folks, I think sometimes this is the hardest one to put aside, isn't it? Because our hearts are the hardest thing to heal. The sorrows that linger after life's tragedy, the heartaches that linger after life's tragedy are often the hardest things to seal off. Because it's like sealing off a part of our heart and our soul. But we've got to learn to leave those behind as well. We've got to learn to live in the present and not in the hurts of the past. Sorrow cannot be forever. It needs to be left behind. Do you remember the 23rd Psalm? I know you do. The 23rd Psalm, if you remember, it says, yea, though I walk. What's that next word? Yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I want you to notice. God made sure it was recorded that we need to understand that we will walk through the valley. But he didn't say that we had to stay there. He said, you'll walk through the valley, but don't stay. If you don't ask God to help you through those valleys, you will lose every day to sorrow and worry and hurt until you work yourself into an early grave and you've not been any use to yourself or to others or to the Lord. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus said this. He said, I am the great I am. Do you remember that? I am. When Moses asked him, he says, who do I tell them you are? He says, tell them I am. I am the great I am. So here's the thing. If you live in the past, it's going to be really hard. If you live in the past, it's going to be really hard because, you see, God is not there. He is not the great I was. Amen? If you try to live in the future, it's going to be hard because God is not there. He is not the great I will be. If indeed you want to live in the presence of God, you're going to have to live in the day because he says, I am the great I am, which is the right now. God is your God of today. He is going to help you deal with today. And Christians who live with him today, Christians who hold on to him today, Christians who live in the present times, will be the ones who will be free from worry because God is going to help them. In closing, I want to nail this down with a few scriptures. Would you hear them? These are going to be sent out to you this week like we've been sending scriptures out. I love that my wife takes those scriptures and she sends them out to everybody through the week. Do you get those? If you don't, you just need to get on the service. We can make arrangements for that. Psalms 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Psalms 55, 22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. 1 Peter 5, 7. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, for your word. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Prayer, prayer. Here are the seven most important words for would-be worriers, which is all of us. Are you ready? The seven most important words. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Pray with me. Father, our hearts worry way too much. Would you help us to lean on you, Lord? You want us to. God, that's not a weakness, that's our strength. It's the Lord our God. Would you help us, Father, to turn to you in every situation? Like the song we sang earlier, Lord, we're going to give you, praise you, and we're going to bless you, Lord, in the good times and in the wonderful times. But God, when things come crashing in, we still need to praise you. We still need to seek you. God, help us that we might turn our full hearts to you. Would you help us to be single-minded and not living a dual life? God, help us to focus on your kingdom and your righteousness. And Lord, help us to set the worry that plagues us sometimes totally aside and let you wash it out of us, Lord, by spending our time in you. Help us to compartmentalize today.